Welcome to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church featuring Pastor Gary Santino. We hope you enjoy these messages. You can find out more information about us at www.fbcenfield.com. You can find us on Facebook, and we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. God bless.
Online, and thank you, worship band. Great job. Awesome this morning. And you don't see me on camera, but I'm over there, and I'm worshiping the Lord, getting in the Spirit. It's awesome, and I can't wait till we meet again. And we are meeting now online, and we're meeting with some of you. Things are happening here at Faith in spite of COVID-19. We're doing some renovations around here, and when you come back, hopefully the 1st of June, that's about what it looks like now. That may change. God knows, but we're looking forward when you come back. It's going to be a change church, and looking forward to that. That's going to be awesome to see everybody again. And remember online, please write your prayer requests. We're going to try to get a prayer list together this week, and join us Wednesday at 7:30 and other times. And just appreciate everybody and miss everybody this morning. But glad we're able to do this. So this morning, we're going to be talking about being awakened, but not shaken. Being awakened, but not shaken. And we need to be awakened by the times in which we live, but we don't need to be shaken because God is in control. Now, many people are wondering, are we living in the last days? And with the outbreak of COVID-19, it's really shaking us to our core. We're seeing things happen before our eyes that we would watch on TV and in movies, and now it's happening. And so we're asking this question, are these the signs of the end of the world? Are these the signs of the coming of Jesus? Are we aware? Do we see what's happening? And are these events a warning, a wake-up call for us to be ready for the coming of Jesus? Now, the early Christians, their minds were focused on the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, after Jesus arose, he stayed on earth 40 days. And after 40 days, he was lifted up into heaven. And as they were standing, wondering, Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 says this, who also said, an angel talked to them and said, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Now look what it says. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So we believe the truth of the Bible is that there will be a visible second coming of Jesus Christ. Revelation said every eye will see him. And it was a teaching of the early church, teaching of the Bible, maybe a teaching it seems like we've kind of gotten away from lately, and maybe we're not as excited about. Maybe we've become too comfortable in our 2020 lifestyle or 2019 lifestyle, our comfortable middle-class materialistic society. We've become comfortable, and then there's been all those false predictions. I can remember 1984 and then 2000. I remember the eclipse when we were in Romania. The end of the world's coming. And then 2012. And how many books have been written and sold that are out of date today that they predicted Jesus is going to come on this date or that date or this sign. And I think we've become in the last maybe 10, 20 years a little wary of talking about the second coming. But that's all changed. 2020 has come, and our comfortable world has been turned upside down. And we're seeing these things happen. Lana went to Walmart. She tried to go to Walmart last night, and as she arrived there, there was a line to get in all around the building. So she said, I'm going to go to another store. You can't imagine. We couldn't imagine this. If somebody would have told you last year at this time, next year you're going to have to stand in line to go to Walmart, you're crazy. No, not going to happen. And so people are thinking again. Are these the signs of the times? Is the second of coming of Jesus closer? I read a missionary letter a few weeks ago, and the missionary said, I didn't think I'd be alive right now. I thought the rapture was going to come. Now, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to sensationalize. But I want us to be conscious. I want us to be aware that this is what the Bible teaches. In fact, Revelation 22:20 says this. This is the second to the last verse in the Bible. And it says this. He who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. When is the last time you said that? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So this is a subject that should be on our minds. This is a subject that we need to be awakened to. This is a subject that we need to be thinking about. The Bible tells us to watch. The Bible tells us to be ready. And Jesus said, surely I am coming quickly. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to ask the question, is this it? Is this it? Is this the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this what's happening? Is his second coming close on the edge? And as we come to the text in 2 Thessalonians, we're actually coming to a group of believers that were suffering greatly. Notice chapter 1, verse 4 says this, We proudly tell God's other churches about, and he's talking about them, about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecution and hardship you are suffering. So they were suffering great persecution, and they thought they were going through the great tribulation. The Bible talks about a seven-year period in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel. Talks about this seven-year period of great tribulation that is going to come upon all the earth. It talks about we have this plague now, this virus. The Bible says in Revelation, a third of the earth will die because of this plague. And so they thought, because of the influence of other Christians, because people were saying the second coming has come, they thought they had missed it. So they misunderstood what had happened, and they were afraid. They said, is this the great tribulation? Now, here's the fact. The fact is, Christians have always and will always go through tribulation, trials, hardship, and suffering. And many times I've had people, when they're going through trials, say, well, this means the rapture is coming. Not necessarily. Because if you think of our trials today and our tribulation today, compare that with the book of Revelation, and you know, something worse is coming. Something terrible is coming. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. And so, as we're coming to this, Paul gives a message in chapter 2 to the believers there, and he's telling them, don't be shaken. Don't freak out. Don't be worried. You haven't missed it. You haven't missed the second coming. And I'm going to tell you some signs of what the second coming means. Now notice verse 1, he says this. Now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you. Now he's going to ask them something. So he's talking about, again, our gathering together. That's when Jesus will come and take us all home. That's when we'll all be with Jesus. The Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And think about that fellowship today that we're missing, that we can't have, because we can't have more than so many people in a room, and we're trying to keep the social distance. But one day we will be gathered together with all believers in one place, and we're going to have a big meal together. And a lot of you have commented to me, made the comment when I talked about the first church back, we're going to have the first time we have church back together again, we're going to have a big potluck. And I'm looking forward to that. But Jesus is coming back, and he's going to gather us all together. And that's when we're going to have real, true fellowship that will never be broken. But notice verse 2, he says this. I'm asking you this, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So he's telling them, you didn't miss it. Maybe other people are writing you letters. Maybe other people are saying things to you. But I want to tell you today, Jesus Christ has not come. He is going to be coming. And I'm going to tell you the signs. And I'm going to tell you what's happening. And as we look today, as we read in the papers, as we read online, we can see that all the pieces are starting to fit together. Now, I'm not going to give a prediction. I'm sure in the time of the Second World War, when Hitler arose to power, many Christians thought that was the second coming. And we know the Bible says one day with the Lord is as a thousand years. In other words, God's watch, if you will, is way different than ours. But we know this for sure, we're closer to the second coming than we ever have been in the history of mankind. And it's coming. And so we need to be awakened. This time of crisis is a time for us to awake and to evaluate our relationship with God, evaluate our family relationships, evaluate our priorities, evaluate what really is important and what life is all about. And I thank God today that knowing Jesus, going through this time, I'm not discouraged. I'm not worried. I'm concerned, but I'm not consumed with it because I know everything's working according to God's timing. So three words I'm going to pull from this chapter that we're reading. If you have your Bibles open to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, three words to describe the signs of the time. And the first word is the Antichrist. The Antichrist, or we call him the son of perdition, or the man of lawlessness, or the son of destruction. Notice verse 3, he says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the fallen away comes first. In other words, till there is a great fallen away, a great people go away, run away from the faith, that the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And here he is talking about this man, Antichrist. And John tells us in 1 John there are many Antichrists. There are many types of Antichrist. So we don't know who the Antichrist is. But this week, Governor Andrew Cuomo said this about the COVID-19 virus. He says, God did not do that. He was talking about that we've lowered the curve. He said, God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did not do that. He stressed a lot of pain and suffering did that. Now, here's a Catholic man, Catholic governor, who signed one of the most horrific abortion bills that makes it legal to literally kill the baby in the womb a few days before birth. And so he's a man that professes a little bit about God, supposedly Catholic, but he didn't want God taking any credit. And he didn't want God being mentioned. And these are the kind of leaders we have in the world. These are the kinds of leaders. And I've noticed lately, you go to a wedding. I've gone to several weddings lately. And they'll do the wedding vows and never mention God. Think about that. Think about marriage is between God, the man and the woman. And in today's wedding ceremonies, we don't even mention God. And politicians that talk about God, Mike Pence, who is a faithful Christian, he is ridiculed, mocked, made fun of for his faith. So here we have the son of perdition. And notice verse 4, it says this, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, There are a lot of things here, and I'm not a scholar in these areas, but I have read that they are ready to build the Jewish temple, and everything is in place for the Jewish temple to be built. Israel being in the land is a sign of the second coming. They are in the land. The Bible prophecies center around the nation of Israel about the temple. And this man, this Antichrist, is going to say, I am God. And how many people in the last 100 years have said, I'm God, I'm equal with God? How many people have exalted themselves above what is called God, or that is worship God? And so we see already in this world the spirit of Antichrist. We see the spirit of exalting themselves above God, being better than God, usurping God's authority, criticizing and mocking anything that is righteous or godly. So we see the signs of the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the devil, Satan. And so the first sign we need to be awakened to today is the Antichrist. And then the second word I'm going to use is conspiracy. Conspiracy. And that's not a word we like sometimes. And if you read the internet or if you're on Facebook, you've probably read over 100 conspiracy theories today. About what's going on, especially with this COVID virus. Every day there's a new theory, a new claim, a secret video somebody's making. Who's behind this? Who did this? But notice verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness, what does it say? Is already at work. Is already at work. So I want to say to you today, there is a conspiracy. But the conspiracy is way above your pay grade. The conspiracy is controlled by Satan. And ever since the Garden of Eden, he has been conspiring to deceive and destroy mankind. That's what he's been doing. He's the mastermind behind this. And the people that are involved in the conspiracy, they're just puppets. They don't even understand what's going on. And so I want to say this morning that there is a worldwide conspiracy. Who controls it? How it's going to turn out? Ultimately, God controls it. But I want to say that he's using governments. He's using policy. He's using media. He's using leaders. He's using this virus to fulfill his evil plan for a one world government. And that's what the end times talks about, a one world government. Here's two headlines, just two. Literally in a minute, I had these two headlines. One of them, coronavirus and the case for one world government. Think about that. Second headline, COVID-19, a crisis fit for a new world order. Is there a conspiracy? You bet there's a conspiracy. Can you do anything about it? No. Do you understand it? No. Sharing videos, is that going to help? No. There is a worldwide conspiracy, and Satan is in control. And we see all these things, and we see all these things coming into place. Think about that. This virus, we've locked down the world. Has this happened in history? We literally locked down the world. Now, in America, we think it's bad. I've talked to people in Romania, in Bolivia, from Argentina, in Spain, it's way worse. They can't even go out of the house. If you go out of the house, you'll get fined. And we still have a sense of freedom, but this coronavirus, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but our sense of liberty and freedom is what Satan and his conspirators hate. That's why the world hates America. They have to get America out of the way. They have to destroy America because they don't want any First Amendment. They don't want any Bill of Rights. They don't want any personal freedoms. Because when Satan comes, and we may talk about this, it says you'll not be able to buy or sell anything without the mark of the beast. In other words, and they're already doing that. with a chip, and you know with your credit card, something happens, it gets blocked, you can't do anything. And this week, I had my rebate or I don't know, what do you call it? Stimulus. Okay, stimulus check come in. And think about this, it came right into my bank account. And I'm thinking, as easy as it comes, as easy as it could go. So I also want to remind you, don't forget to tithe on your stimulus check. Amen? And that's extra money. So think about that this morning. But this is what's happening. Conspiracy. Yeah, conspiracy is alive and well and true. But at the end, we're going to see he's telling us, don't be shaken. Be awakened to what's going on. I want you to wake up, look around you. Yes, things are happening. Things are happening at a rapid pace. So, Antichrist, conspiracy, and the third word this morning is delusions. Delusions. What do I mean by delusions? I mean that most people will be oblivious to the work of Satan. And they will gladly go along with his work. Think about how, you know, we think about Germany and World War II and the Holocaust. But Germany was a Christian nation. It was a nation of Lutherans, of Catholics. They were Christian people. A lot of those generals were Christian people. And yet they got so caught up in the delusion that they accepted what Hitler offered. He was elected to his position, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. And so we're going to read a couple of verses here. Notice what it says in verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So don't think that the media doesn't lie, or that politicians don't lie, or that some religious people can't perform great miracles. His working and his miracles are going to be very convincing. Notice verse 10. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. Now notice what it says. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So what causes people to be deceived? They don't accept the truth. And that's why in our country, so many people swallow the deceitfulness of Satan because they have rejected the truth. Many, many of the cult leaders, in fact, Stalin grew up in with the influence of Christianity in the Orthodox Church. Many of the Joseph Smith and Russell, Taz Russell, the founder of some of these cults, they were in the church. They knew the truth. And they accepted it. And notice what it says in verse 11. For this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they may believe a lie. So who is sending the delusions? It says God will send them delusions. So don't think that Christianity is ever going to be in the majority. And don't think when you get up and say, yeah, Jesus is coming and these are the signs, and people say, all right, we've heard that before. The gospel, listen, the gospel is going forth today like never before. I don't know how many pastors now that were reluctant to go online are now online. That fought it, now they're online, now they're reaching people. This morning, you're listening to me in the comfort of your home, and all week long, there are people doing devotions, there you can go on YouTube, the gospel is there, and God, if we reject the truth, if we don't love the truth, God will send us strong delusions. Notice verse 12, that they may condemn who did not believe the truth, verse 12, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's what Satan is going to profit from. He's profiting from people today that would gladly accept a government check in exchange for their liberties. That would gladly accept the government to take over everything and give up all their freedom of religion, freedom to worship, privacy. People are willing to throw it all in. Why? Because they have no character, no convictions. If I have to take a vaccine, or I have to accept abortion, or if I have to compromise, not a problem, as long as the government takes care of me, that's the delusion. And you know what's going to happen? The rapture is going to come. And the rapture is, and we'll talk about that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when he calls all his saints and we meet the Lord in the air. And that is going to be, the delusion is going to be so strong that people won't even blink an eye. We think the rapture is going to come and so many people are going to repent. Nobody's going to repent. Because the delusion is so bad. And even today, in the middle of this COVID-19, in the middle of how bad it is in some places and how bad it is in your life and how uncomfortable you are, maybe this morning, you're still refusing to believe in Jesus. You're still clinging to your sin. You're still resisting that you need to wake up and come to grips with Jesus Christ and eternal life and salvation. So we need to be awakened. But let me say quickly, don't be shaken. Don't be shaken. Don't be shaken. So we need to be awakened. The Antichrist, conspiracy, delusions, we see it all over the newspaper. Just go on Google and Google it, and you can read all afternoon articles about what's going on. The signs are here. The technology is here. Satan is bringing it all together. We're ripe for the one world government, but don't be shaken. Don't be shaken. Two reasons why we don't have to be shaken. God will say when, and God will win. God will say when, and God will win. Notice verse 7 again. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly and will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. And we don't want to be bothered with God, but when God steps away, we are going to be seeking him. The worst thing that can happen to a person is for God to give up on him. And it talks about Romans. It talks about God gave them over to their own desires. It's not that God always gives us a second chance, but God is, sometimes we ignore God so long that we can't even distinguish his voice. And so this is not going to happen. Satan is the conspirator, but he's not in control. And until God steps back and takes his church and takes the restraint of the Holy Spirit, that's why they hate Christians. Think about it today. Think about it in all the world. They take the name of Jesus in vain, but they don't take the name of Buddha. They don't take the name of Muhammad. They don't take the name of any other religious leader in vain. Why? Because the Bible says God's given a name that is above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that Jesus is Lord. And so nothing's going to happen till God says, and then verse 8, God will win. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume, notice what it says, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's what, Jesus is going to do when all the evil is released. And when Satan finally accomplishes his plan, he'll not win. Because Jesus will come and destroy him with the breath of his mouth and the brightness of his countenance. The coming of Jesus is a good thing. The coming of Jesus is actually the hope of the world. The coming of Jesus is the only event that is going to straighten out this world. We think another leader, I don't know, maybe I'm getting older, but I don't know how many times when we said, all right, this president is going to be elected, or that president is going to be elected, or that person is going to come. And they come, and every time they're always a big disappointment. Or we're going to pass this law, or we're going to pass this policy. You can't change human nature. Man has to be changed from within. The only person that can change you from within is Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want you to wake up, but be comforted. I want you to wake up, but be comforted. Wake up to the fact that the first question, really, if you die today, do you know you go to heaven? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you called upon the name of the Lord, as it says in Romans 10, 9, 8, 9, and 10, that if we'll confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says we shall be saved. I remember when I was 17, I got down, knelt down next to my bed and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. Forgive me my sins and save me. And he did. He changed me. Are you right with God? Are you saved? Maybe this morning you need to say that prayer. Maybe just write on Facebook, I want to be saved. I prayed that prayer. I want to be saved. Write it in the comments. Maybe this morning you need to be woken up. Maybe this COVID-19 has been good because you haven't really been too serious about your faith. I mean, you came to church here and there. You tried to make it, but everything else was more important. Now, you can't come to church. God's taken that away. When the church opens back up, are you going to be more serious with him? It's time to wake up. Things are happening. Jesus is coming. And 100 years from now, 200 years from now, 1,000 years from now, what's going to matter is if we're reigning and ruling and living with Jesus Christ. So wake up this morning. But don't be stressed out. Wake up this morning. Don't just get all worried about all these conspiracy theories. Don't get down. Yes, things are happening. We see the Antichrist come on. We see strong delusions. We see conspiracy theories. That's happening. It says it right there in the scripture. But it also says it's not going to happen until God says when. And God will win in the end. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you this morning, that in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of a crisis, as we think about the meaning of all this, that we know your word shows us the answer. And Lord, help us have a balanced, calm view of what is happening and what we need to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless. We'll see you Wednesday, 7:30, next week, 10:30, right here online at Faith Baptist Church. God bless.